One day, as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to Jesus. "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things," they said. "Who gave you this authority?" He replied, "I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us because they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered, "We don't know where it was from." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. "What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others." When the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone'? Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. May the Lord give us insight to his word. When John preached a few weeks ago, he preached on the parable of the minas, which was Jesus warning his followers how they should live and telling them that they should be stewards of what the Lord has given them. And here the religious authorities have come to Jesus and challenged him, asking him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" But Jesus won't play into their hands. If he had said that John's teaching was from God, then the people would have turned on the religious leaders. And if he'd said it was not from God, the people would have turned on him, and there would have been a riot in either event. And the time is not yet for Jesus to be arrested. And when he is arrested, it will not be because he's caused a riot. It'll be because he's totally innocent and he's taking on himself our sin. But here he tells the parable of the vineyard, the tenants of the vineyard. And the people know he's talking about the leaders, and the leaders know he's talking about the leaders. And that presumably they're not quite listening, or they're shuffling their feet. But it's all part of Jesus's plan and his warning. And the question is, what is his authority? Well, we can look at his deeds. Though many of those people who would be in the crowd then had seen some of the things he had actually done. They'd seen lepers healed, blind people made to see, people with fever having it reduced, women's problems of years solved in seconds, and people who were paralyzed or lame had been able to walk again. And then there were physical deeds, turning a boy's packed lunch into enough food to make 5,000 without making a television series out of it on how to do it. And calming the waves, telling the tempests how to behave. And then, of course, they'd seen people raised from the dead. The little girl, who was not dead but sleeping, according to Jesus. The widow's son, and of course Lazarus. And all that challenged them to think, well, who on earth is this that he can do these things? And then we look at his words. And right from the beginning, when he first read in the synagogue, it is recorded that he taught as one having authority. And so he preaches. He uses parables, very simple stories, with very deep meaning. A special lost coin, a bit like losing an engagement ring today. A found pearl of great price. A sower sowing his seed on the mountainside, and so on. And in the Sermon on the Mount, showing his followers how to live and how to bring blessedness or happiness, not just to themselves, but to everybody around them. So we can look at his deeds and we can look at his claim, his words, but we also have to look at his claims. We used to have a weather forecaster when we lived in the south of England, in Portsmouth, who did they called him Fluffy Bits because he always referred to the clouds as Fluffy Bits. And he was a very good weather forecaster, but he disappeared from the airwaves very quickly when he took up with some peculiar cult and claimed that he was the Son of God. I think he came out of that eventually, but his weather forecasting obviously couldn't be trusted either. People, look at the claims and look at what you're doing. And many accept Jesus today as a great teacher. He's taught us to care for the poor, to do unto others as you would they should do to you. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. And some of these things he only said once, but people have built whole political systems on them. But over 50 times. Now, someone, when I was not here, and Tony was, preached a sermon and said that Jesus didn't ask us to believe anything, any claim that he made. So when I arrived home on the Monday, Tony had got every Bible and concordance that we'd got out on the floor, and he said, so far I've found 53 claims that Jesus said we were to believe. We cannot accept the deeds and the words without his claims. Paul writes that Jesus combines the power of God and the wisdom of God. The stone the builders rejected, no doubt looking straight at the Pharisees at that point, has become the chief cornerstone for Clary and for those of us today who are remembering that we built our lives on him. And how do we know it's all true? Well, we have the witness of the disciples who were closest to them. Of those 11 disciples, only John lived a full life to be over 90, and he ended up in exile. All the others, I've got a list here, all the others were martyred in very nasty ways. And all it would have taken would be to say, well, actually, of course, it's not really true. But they couldn't say that because they knew Jesus. They recognized his authority, and they drew all their strength from the knowledge of his love and his salvation at work within them. May the Lord grant that we find that too. Amen. Now I'm delighted to hand over to John and Mark.
On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter proclaimed the good news of God and called his hearers to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And following in that tradition, we baptize those whom Jesus Christ has led to repentance and new life in faith. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John. And in baptism, believers take their stand in union with him and declare their faith in his death and resurrection. Their baptism marks an ending and a beginning in life. They are washed free of sin to begin a new life in the power and joy of the Spirit. And the public confession of faith in Christ is also an act of obedience to God and the means of entry into his church. Baptism is our response to all that God has done for us in Christ and a celebration of all that he gives of himself in his Spirit. The initiative is God's, and in baptism his grace is displayed. Clary is here this morning because in Jesus Christ he's found a living Lord. He's been met in a personal way and knows that Jesus, the Son of God, loves him and that he gave himself to die for him on a cross. He knows that Jesus, the Son of God, was not defeated by death, but was raised to life and calls us to accept his forgiveness and hope and to share in his resurrection life. And in baptism, he expresses this belief, consecrating himself in a special way to commitment and service. So he'll enter the water in obedience, believing that baptism is commanded by Christ himself. As he goes under the water and rises from it, he gives witness to his desire to die to self and rise with Christ to new life. We know that he comes surrounded by the love and prayers of our church family here, and upheld by the great continuous prayer that unites us all with the universal church of Christ in heaven on earth. He comes as much loved child of a father who welcomes him. Jesus is his brother, and he is bound to him by his Holy Spirit. So God is glad, and we are glad too, that he has come. So this is a special moment, so let's pray for him. So Clary, you want to come in for a moment? I actually remember when the first meeting Clary, when he used to be driving a bus, and he came along to the coffee morning. And he once, we used to know him as the man with the keys. You always have loads of keys rattling up. I never did find out what they were all for. Amazing. And then gradually he started coming to the church. I think he just appreciated our friendship and fellowship and the way we accepted him. And he, of course, became very close friends with Phyllis as well. And I'm sure a lot of his progress has been to do with Phyllis and her influence too. But we're really pleased to have him with us. So I'd like you just to come here first, Clary, and say your I do's. Okay. Right. Clary, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins when coming to be baptised?
I do.
And with the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God?
I do.
Clary, on confession of your faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, we baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Good.